Thank you. Glad you are all here. I only have one question for the group. What took you so long to get back here? 1983 was the last time the Snowbirds were here. And we've got video footage of their arrival. We all saw it yesterday from the ground looking up. But there's a great video posted on Facebook today. And if you can run that, it's listen closely to the audio as it goes by.
Whoa, that's a lot of airplanes.
Yeah, crazy.
Wow.
That's insane.
Turning right.
Snowbird 1, you're going in our initial runway 18 now. You're clear to land runway 18. Wind is still 160 degrees at 8. Altimeter 2997.
Proceed into 3 miles.
Harbor's moving into 3 miles.
Rolling out.
Power up, acknowledge.
3-1.
Harbor's just let you know that you can pull it in about 3 miles if you need to. Helicopter ride, you can resume. Helicopter ride, roger.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is a perfect Oshkosh arrival. I love the comment, I hope you heard it on the audio track, where someone says, look at all the airplanes. So none of you have been to this event before, correct?
Most of us weren't born yet.
Well, we've been at it quite a few years, but so just initially, and I know we're going to have to pass microphones around, but just a couple of you, what are your initial reactions to this thing called Oshkosh?
I'll start answering with that one. I'm lucky enough where I own my own experimental aircraft. I've got an RV4. I've always heard about Oshkosh growing up in Toronto. One of my mentors in high school that wrote my reference letter to get into the military was an avid pilot who would come to Oshkosh quite often. So I've always wanted to come to Oshkosh, but it just couldn't happen for one reason or the other. So to be able to bring the Snowbirds here, obviously it has been 33 years, as you mentioned earlier. We actually did autographs this morning, and quite a few guys were coming through the autograph row with that poster from 33 years ago. But you heard it on tape when the weather wasn't all that great when we flew in, but when we pitched in for our Snowbird pitch and then saw the amount, you couldn't even see the green grass. There were airplanes and tents and people. Like, it was hard flying straight because I was looking left and looking at all the people on the ground. It is it's almost like the Las Vegas of aviation, where it's sensory overload, and it's just unbelievable. I mean, there's just no shortages of things to do, and we've only been here 24 hours, and we really haven't seen anything yet.
Anyone else, first impressions? Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. I would say just massively overwhelmed. Got onto the grounds last night, watched the night show, completely blown away by all the performers, all the spectators. Everybody's super friendly. Showed up this morning to sign autographs at 10 o'clock in the morning. Haven't left. Spent the whole day walking around. I think my feet are going to fall off. It's been hugely overwhelming. One of the most spectacular sights I've ever seen in aviation.
Anyone else care to join in?
Just as one of the older fellows in the group here, probably the oldest, I guess, I go back to 1980 and 81 on my first tour in the team, and we did a lot of fantastic American shows back there. We did New York City for the first time in 1980, Chicago in the first time in 1981, but Oshkosh is somewhere we just didn't get a chance to come to back then, but it's been on our radar for a very, very long time, and I think the first time the team actually did make it here was about 1976, 76, 77 back to back, and the guys still talk about it. If a guy named Speedy Fast, who was my old contemporary Snowbird 9 back in those years, he just loved Oshkosh. And it's unfortunate he couldn't come with us. He was invited to come this time, but he couldn't make it. But Oshkosh has always been on the Snowbird radar. It's just that there are so many great American shows, we try and spread it around.
Excellent. The Canadian Forces 431 Air Demonstration Squadron, that's their official name, otherwise known as the Snowbirds, right? And they are here to demonstrate the skill, professionalism, and teamwork of Canadian Forces personnel. But the team itself, actually the squadron, dates back to World War II. So tell us a little bit about the history of the squadron and kind of how you came to be here today.
I'm going to defer this question to our resident historian, Dan Dempsey. He is a wealth of knowledge, and he has spent a lot of his probably last couple decades really cataloging the history of not only the Snowbirds, but all Canadian air demonstration teams, and he has a wealth of knowledge. And Dan, over to you on that one.
Okay, thanks, Craig. Just I'll give you a very brief synopsis here of how this worked for us. First of all, 431 Squadron was formed in World War II as a bomber squadron. It flew Halifaxes and Lancaster bombers. And then after the war, it was disbanded. It was reformed briefly in 1954 as an F-86 Sabre squadron, as an interim squadron. But in that year, they had something called Operation Prairie Pacific. And a gentleman who became very famous in Canada by the name of Fern Villeneuve led that team. And they went right across Canada doing air shows with Sabres. And then it wasn't until 1978 that the Snowbirds actually got squadron status. And that was a very, very big deal for us. The 1st of April 1978 gave us permanence within the Canadian Armed Forces. Just in terms of, if I can put this a little bit of perspective for our American friends here, you've got two wonderful teams here, the Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds, the Blue Angels having been formed in 1946, the Thunderbirds in 1953. But in Canada, we've had many different teams throughout those years, but all with different names. So if anybody knows any of the history at all, you might remember the RCF Blue Devils that flew Vampires from 1949 to 1951. Then we had probably one of the most famous teams of all, the RCF Golden Hawks. They were formed in 1959 to celebrate the 50th anniversary of powered flight in Canada, and they flew until 1963. But these teams didn't have the longevity that we wanted. So in 1964, for example, the Golden Hawks were axed because of budget. And then in 1967, we had a very famous team that flew for 1 year only, and they were known as the Golden Centenaires. And they were formed for Canada's 100th birthday. Next year, we will celebrate their 50th anniversary. So there were lots of regional teams with Voodoos and Starfighters. We had a team of Harvards called the Goldilocks that was flying back in the mid-60s as well. And in fact, our very first official RCF aerobatic team was a team called the Siskins that were formed back in 1929. So whereas you've had, you know, one consistent name for your aerobatic teams, so the United States Navy, United States Air Force, we've had many teams. But now, as you all know, we're celebrating the 46th anniversary this year with the Snowbirds. So may that tradition long continue. Thank you.
Excellent. So I notice we have red suits and blue suits. Please tell us the difference between the two.
Sure, absolutely. So the blue suiters are the maintenance professionals that do all the work. I consider them the backbone of the snowbirds. These guys work tirelessly day in and day out, making sure that the airplanes are in, like I said at the beginning, top shape and ready to go for every single performance. It's actually nice because they actually fly with the airplane that that they're in charge of. So again, it gives you that's the camaraderie where we spend a lot of time in the transits. I mean, you know, going from show to show does take a lot of time. So we do build a really good reputation and relationship with the blue suiter that you fly with. So the blue suiters are the maintainers, the red suiters are the pilots. We fly from show to show with 11 airplanes, the 9 that fly the show, the 10 and 11 fly the spare airplanes, and they also do, like I said at the beginning, the narration and the safety pilot duties. Every single airplane is dualed up with a pilot and a technician, with the exception of the 11 jet. The 11 jet flies with our public affairs officer. Supporting the 11 airplanes, we also have a truck that has all our spare parts and supplies. So we also have a truck driver and a supply tech that travel with the truck from show site to show site. So unlike a lot of the other demonstration teams, we're self-contained in that way. We don't necessarily have the luxury to have a transport airplane that takes us from A to B, takes extra maintainers from A to B with all the spare parts. We do it within our 11 airplanes and that the truck that follows us from show site to show site.